Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. Hope everyone is well, unless I hate your guts, in which case I hope things are terrible and they're only getting worse for you. Our stranger today is Kevin Blatt. Is that right?
That's correct.
Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, sir.
Blatt. Welcome.
It's a Blatt thing.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
Kevin is a celebrity sex tape broker. Is that accurate? You do more than that?
Yeah, I do way more than that, but that is the proper nomenclature.
Yeah, I don't really know you, but we have mutual friends.
Right.
And I know that you have connections in the, I call it porno because I'm old school, the porno business.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so what does that involve? How did you get involved in that business?
So I'm from Cleveland, Ohio originally.
Okay.
In 96, my brother and I drove out to San Diego, California, where we just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Found a bunch of kids with backwards hats and backpacks that owned these domains like blowjob.com and breast.com. And
smart.
They had the foresight to buy this real estate up. And they were the latchkey children whose parents weren't home, you know, after work. So they would take their computers apart, put them back together. I wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'd gone to school at Ohio State. I had just done every single sales job you could imagine. And I exhausted everything there was to do in Cleveland. So we got in a car, drove out to San Diego. I was selling Howard Stern radio advertising. My brother was selling alarm systems. He cold called a company called Website Story, and they happened to host adult websites. And that's when we had that eureka moment. My brother came back and he said, man, every time I go to this office, there's like 50 to 100 new employees there. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing porn, I think. I was like, you got to get me in here, bro.
Yeah. That's
like, I'm in a cubicle listening to some alcoholic sales manager tell me about his kid hitting a home run. And I'm like, man, I just want to see naked girls and hang out.
Yeah.
So
it is a way better business plan.
Yeah. My brother left the alarm system thing and he went straight into working for Website Story. And I ended up working for a 19-year-old kid who he introduced me to, who owned a company called Why Not.
How old are you at this point?
I'm 27 years old, 28 years old. And
the young boss.
Yeah, a young boss. The kid was 18 years old, and he hired me to be a marketing guy because I was really good at marketing. And he said, you know, if you could help me sell this company, because he was half Asian.
Okay.
He says, my parents really don't like what I do, but if you could help me sell this company, I'll take care of you. And I ended up selling his company 6 months later for $5 million.
Nice.
And he gave me a nice 10% commission. So all of a sudden, I'm in the adult business. I sell a company. I got $500,000. And I'm like, okay, we're off to the races.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it started. And then from there, it was just a myriad of different jobs, from selling penis enlargement pills. That was pretty fun. To sex toys. I was KB Toys for a period of time, people called me.
Nice.
Yeah, as you could imagine.
Penis enlargement pills, what's the sales technique on that? It's like, hey, you want to fuck with a bigger dick?
And, of course.
And they're like, yeah. And you're like, this is it.
Well, ask me if they work.
Do they work?
They sell.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm incredulous. But at the end of the day, it was back then we were doing something called spam, and it was really frowned upon, and it became illegal
right, to
send like 7-year-old kids and 9-year-old kids emails to make their penis larger. So I kind of got out of the business.
Yeah. I had a Hotmail account. I remember the racket.
But I will say, I mean, people would call us up or they would send us pictures, Polaroids of their dick, and they would be like, yo, thanks, Herbalo. You helped my penis grow. And I'd be like, oh my God, where are these people measuring from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are they measuring from the taint? Are they measuring from their asshole? Like, where are they measuring? But then I'd have the occasional person that would ask for their money back. And I came up with a concept that was pretty interesting. I would say, no problem. And then the check memo, I would write failed penis enlargement.
Nice. And they're not cashing that.
Nobody ever cashed that check.
Yeah.
Question, so, where are you measuring? Where are you supposed to measure from? I
from
really
the base,
would like to know this.
I assume from the bottom of the penis is the correct way to do it?
The correct would be the base, where it attaches to the scrotum.
Yeah.
But most people would go from underneath the balls. But the funny part was that I was actually looking at pictures of people who believe their penis grew.
Yeah.
And then other people going, yo, my dick didn't grow. I've been buying your pills for months. And I'd be like, well, did you do the exercises?
Yeah.
And they'd say, what exercise?
Stretches?
Yeah, it was called Jelking, J-E-L-Q. And we had a little pamphlet that you put in the actual pill bottle. And I told the people, look, for 20 minutes a night, you're supposed to hold the base of your penis and pull outwards like this. And
wow.
Listen, if you go to the dentist and you pay to get your teeth bleached and they give you a bleaching tray and you sleep over Sarah's house, and you don't put your bleaching tray in, are you going to come after me because your teeth aren't white?
Amen. This is a great sales technique.
You know.
Yeah.
So that was the jump off. So I ended up hooking up with a girl named Houston, who was a porn star.
Okay.
Who is famous for the 620 man gangbang.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Legend.
620.
The Michael Jordan of her profession.
I think a 621. 621 would have made her a whore.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I think that's why they rounded up the number.
Stayed respectable.
Yeah. But we ended up going on the Howard Stern show, and that's kind of how I became like this PR guy in the adult business that everybody wanted to hire. They knew that I had people that I could, you know, get stories out to. Howard, Inside Edition, all those mainstream things.
So right.
That's kind of how I got approached with this Paris Hilton sex tape in 2003.
And is that your first celebrity?
Yeah, that's the piece de resistance. I did the Paris Hilton sex tape, which later became One Night in Paris.
Right.
The best-selling adult movie of all time.
So who approaches you about this? And is this something immediately like, yeah, we can do this? You know how, you've already have a plan in place? Or is this like, what's the process there?
We had a plan in place because the guys that had called me up that got the tape initially were friends with a guy named Seth Warshawski. And you might know his name. Did you guys watch the Pam and Tommy Lee show that was just recently on Hulu? It was all about the Pam and Tommy Lee sex tape. And the guy who ultimately got it was a guy who we knew named Seth up in Seattle. And the guys who knew him very well took a page out of the playbook knowing that Pam and Tommy never sued. They sent cease and desist, and ultimately they never gave their permission. They never made a dime off of their tape.
Yeah.
So we were going to do kind of the same thing. They said, look, somebody came to us, this guy named Donald Thrasher. He's roommates with a guy named Rick Solomon. And he's banging this girl named Paris Hilton. Have you ever heard of her? And I'm like, no, it doesn't ring a bell. Like, well, you know, she's the heir to the Hilton fortune. She's going to be a big deal. She's got a show coming out called The Simple Life on Fox. And we're like, I don't know. They said, well, look, go see if it's real. But if it is, we'll be prepared to give the guy $50,000 up front and a third of the back end of the profits. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't have that kind of money. He goes, we'll stake you, KB. Don't worry about it.
None.
So I end up going and meeting and doing this deal, which ends up blowing up in my face.
Yeah.
I get sued for $10 million from Paris Hilton, who turns out to be a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
The family's a big deal.
Yeah.
Rick Solomon sues me. Hilton's parents sue me. I got sued for like $30 million. I'm just this preppy Jew boy living in Carlsbad on La Costa Golf Course. None of my neighbors knew what the hell I did. I tried to keep a low profile back then.
Smart.
And then all of a sudden, I'm the porn king of La Costa overnight. This like becomes the biggest scandal of 2003.
Yeah.
So people started calling me in Vanity Fair and New York Times, all these crazy, real, like, you know, accredited places, the celebrity sex tape broker. Which, dude, I mean, as a comic, you have to think that's pretty fucking
bad. Yeah, it's a great title to be like, yeah, obviously that's who I am.
So I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be my epitaph. This is going to be on my headstone. This guy helped over 10 million people jerk off.
Yeah, it's you got to pick a brand and you got to run with it. And this is, you know, a good one to have, I think.
It's done okay for me. Here we are 18 years later, and we're still talking about Paris and sex tapes. And now...
So what ends up happening? Did you actually have to pay them millions of dollars?
No, I never had to pay any money. I'm knock on wood.
Yeah.
I've been sued by Cameron Diaz, Colin Farrell. Vern Troyer sued me.
Damn, that's a good one.
Vern Troyer.
Yeah.
You've seen Austin.
A tiny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
You didn't see the actual sex tape?
No.
I brought it to TMZ, and I'll never forget this for as long as I live. Harvey Levin and all of his editors come in the back room. I go, Harvey, you got to see this. And he's like, what is it? I go, it's Vern Troyer having sex. He's like barely 4 feet. And the woman he's with is like 5'6". He's like, I can't watch this. And I put it on, and he gets on top of her, or he tries to, with his little sausage fingers. And he's...
Carny hands.
And he makes this... it's like this horrible sound. And For the first 10 minutes, he's
fucking
going...
Mini-Me, just out there.
Mini-Me's
trying
out there
his damnedest.
First 20 minutes, he's going down on her, and it looks like a baby trying to re-enter the womb.
Oh, my God.
It's so gross that Harvey walked out. He goes, I can't look at this. And he runs out, and everybody's like holding their eyes, and he comes running back. 5 minutes later, I have to see more.
Yeah.
So that ended up getting me sued, and we couldn't show that.
Yeah.
And that became a whole thing because this girl that he did the tape with, she met him at the Playboy Mansion. You know, you've been to the Playboy Mansion.
I haven't.
Never?
I never went.
Bro, you know. The thing about the mansion.
Paulie invited me once, but I was like, no, I'm not going to go.
See, that's the thing about the mansion. You go out there and these playmates meet Paulie.
Yeah.
They meet Scott Baio.
Right.
They meet David Faustino.
Biggest names in the business.
Right. Love you, Paulie.
Longest names in the business.
Yeah. But I said to her, I go, really, you go to the Playboy Mansion, and this is the guy you latch onto? I mean,
Mini-Me.
Mini-Me.
Yeah. She's like, the Austin Powers movies are still a hit right now.
And I guess he eats pussy like a motherfucker.
Well, you do what you got to do when you're,
if that's the height you are,
yeah,
you get
exactly
good at
right.
it.
Most women, they don't get the treatment of the standing, having your box eaten out.
He could have probably stood and done it.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened in the tape.
No, he was trying to get back in the womb, which is one of the more disturbing descriptions, I think, of this scenario.
Honest to God, I don't know if there's any more accurate depiction that I could give you than that.
Wow, okay.
But yeah, so that was a couple of the different things that happened. He sued me, Cameron Diaz sued me. Colin Farrell was an interesting situation as well.
What was Colin Farrell?
Oh, man.
Was that like him on the surfboard thing? Or the
surfboard?
The little boat or... Does he have an actual sex tape?
Oh, no, he's got an actual sex tape.
Who's he having sex with?
So I get a call living in San Diego from some guy all cryptic and on a Sunday night. Hey, man, is this Kevin Blatt? I'm like, yeah. The guy who did the celebrity sex tape of Paris Hilton. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I have an A-list actor with a B-list model, and I want $1.2 million. They came up with this crazy figure. I'm like, okay. Well, who is it? I can't tell you. But can you meet me at Mel's Diner on Sunset in 2 hours? I'm like, bro, I live in San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm getting in my car right now. I'm such a whore that I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
He says, meet me. I'll be sitting by the window. I'm wearing a John Deere hat, an orange John Deere hat, and a green parka. And I'm like, okay, who are you, Elmer Fudd?
Yeah. Very discreet.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy who looks like a billboard for a dude trying to sell celebrity sex tapes.
So I drive up there. I get in horrendous traffic, but I end up going right there. And sure enough, he's sitting there with the same outfit he's got on. And he's like, order some cheesecake. My partner is going to be here in a little while. I'm like, I don't need cheesecake, bro. I'm like, what are we talking about? I just drove 3 hours to get here.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to have to wait till my partner gets here. 2 minutes later, this big muscle guy comes in, and he sits down. He starts whispering with the other guy, and he orders a plate of meat. He says, can I just have some meat? To the waitress.
Yeah.
I guess Great. He was on
normal shit.
He was on Atkins, so a pile of deli meat comes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? So I go, guys, you're wasting my time. And then they go back, and they go, okay, listen, it's Colin Farrell. And he's with a black playmate named Nicole Narain. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I go, but gentlemen, people don't like male sex tape.
Yeah, no one wants
sell.
To see dudes fucking.
Hey, we want to see hot girls getting railed. That's what sells.
Yeah. You could just have a tape called Hot Girls Getting Railed, and people would be like, yeah, I'm in on that.
I think Joe Francis had that franchise.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Subscribe here.
Patreon? I'm in.
So I actually say to him, I go, listen, unless you show me what it is, I can't go to my investors. I know people that will put up that kind of money, but I got to see it. So they look at each other and they whisper and they come back and they go, we weren't really prepared to do this. But if we blindfold you and put you in the back of our car, it's only going to be 5 minutes. We're just going up the hill. We just don't want you to see where we're going. Would you be agreeable to that? I don't have a gun. I have no knife. I got nothing.
Yeah.
And I barely know LA. Like, I live in San Diego. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like a scenario where you're about ready to be the star of a celebrity sex tape. Celebrity.
If a guy calls me and he's like, I'm in a John Deere hat and a green parka, and then a big guy shows up and orders a plate of meat, and then they're like, get in the car with us. I'm like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky I'm sitting here and I haven't called a cop.
This is the privilege of being a dude, though. He's like, these guys probably don't want to fuck me, I'm guessing.
You know, I definitely, that thought never even occurred to me. Yeah. Now that I think back.
Yeah.
God.
No, you could have been that Tonight's Top story. Yeah. You could have been like murder victim. Yeah.
In Hollywood. Well, now it's funny because I got in the back of a Honda Accord, so it was like a hatchback. It really wasn't a trunk. But now I recognize that the street I went up was most likely Sunset Plaza because it was windy.
Yeah.
And I think I went up and they buzzed me into this mansion. It's like the Wayne Manor from Batman. And
sure.
Big gates I hear open up. And we go in there and they put in this videotape. And man, there's Colin Farrell. And he's naked and he's got a cigarette dangling off his lip. And he's holding a bottle of Guinness. And he says to Nicole, Nicole Norain, I could eat that kitty for breakfast, for fucking lunch, and for fucking dinner. And I'm like, whoa. But meanwhile,
I look, delivering lines.
I know.
I look at the dick, and I'm like, and I'm a straight guy, by the way. So I mean, I could.
Sure, sure you are.
I'm as straight as they come. But I could tell you, man, this guy's got a hammer.
Mm. Wow.
I'm like, does that guy breathe through this thing? Like Colin Farrell? He's a little guy.
Yeah.
And
explains that BDE, though, that he's out there putting it out.
And now he's the Penguin in the Batman. Yeah. I didn't even know until after I saw the movie and I came home.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Millennial Batman, though.
Yeah. His penis is playing the sea lion.
Yeah. It's part of the Riddler, I think.
So why are you getting sued for these videos? How are these procured? What is the way that is not kosher?
Colin Farrell's not the one selling the video, I assume.
Well, how does someone else get it then?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. So 9 out of 10 times, I'll have a former lover, high school boyfriend, right, or girlfriend in some cases, or an aunt, an uncle, a cousin. You'd be surprised at the people
willing to sell out there.
Yeah, and especially during the pandemic. I used to have these clandestine meetings where I'd have to meet at Greenblatt's, like in the back, and hide from people. I had people going, hey, do you have Signal? Do you have FaceTime? Can I show you what I have? Like, literally, there was a sex tape that got shot to me at one of the housewives of Atlanta. In the middle of the pandemic, these girls were broke. They bought a storage locker in Atlanta. They fully owned the contents of this locker that was owned by somebody else. But the way you shut these things down is the rights of publicity. Many years ago, Paris Hilton had a locker, and this came across my path. It was called Paris Exposed, and we had contents from that locker that ran the gamut, from her herpes medication to videos of Joe Francis with a kilo of cocaine on his chest to lamps.
That's the Girls Gone Wild guy, correct? Yeah.
Who they're doing a huge
Then now he's got a
hit piece on.
Yeah.
It's an expose more than anything.
Oh, it's an expose. He was a scumbag.
Forget how Hollywood you are.
I know. I heard you were out with Chris Rock, bro.
Yeah, that's
a big deal.
It's the rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's
Wait,
not.
So you see their sex tape.
Yeah,
game.
It's.
Have Chris call me.
We have a lot of good things we're working on behind the scenes.
Do you know what's crazy is I was here the week of the slap, as we'll call it.
Yeah.
I came in and I said to Richie, what's going on tonight? Because I'm about to bring up Aziz and Rock in the OR.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, put me in there.
Yeah.
He puts me in the back room and, you know, Aziz goes up, does 20 minutes, and then he brings up Rock, and Rock did a whole hour.
Yeah. He's of all this new stuff. Set. Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is crazy. I had no idea that he was going to go on tour. And then the slap thing happens, and I'm like, people are calling me up going, man, we just bought our tickets to go see Chris Rock. He's sold out. Tickets are going for $300 here in Cleveland and in Chicago or Boston, wherever the hell it was.
Man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we went to Boston 2 days after the slap.
And
I couldn't get a hold of him, so I'm just like, I'm like excited. I finally got enough where I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell the people I care about, the people I work with on the podcast and stuff. Just because to me, it's always like, no matter what happens, it always gets fucked somehow in my career. So he asked me to go on tour with him. I'm like, yeah. And then a month goes by and I see him here at the store and he's cool and we're talking about it. And I'm like, all right, this is cool. And then that shit happens and I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's crazy. You find yourself in the eye of the storm, though, like that week.
And I'm like, I call him, his phone's off. I text him, it just says not receiving, whatever. I'm just like, all right, I guess show's still on, but
it's a weird thing to be in that little storm because, like, many years ago, obviously the Paris Hilton thing put me in this storm where I was on Stern, and then I was like the top 10 list on David Letterman, and all this stuff happens, and then you're like, holy shit, I'm in the middle of the biggest story in the world.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this probably never happens to anybody, so nobody ever knows how to handle it. But in my case, it happens so many fucking times that I got to a point where, like, the Charlie Sheen thing happens.
Right.
Every one of the Charlie Sheen hookers came to me with something different at Charlie Sheen's. One was HIV medication. One was like, man, Charlie gave me ounce of blow last night, and then he OD'd, and I'm the one that called the ambulance. I'm like, well, let's get you over to TMZ.
Yeah,
you know.
So when, and you're talking about the Paris Hilton locker and yeah. like all that stuff. And so, did these people pay you? Like, how do you make money?
Okay, so that's twofold. So, the reason why I was talking about the locker is the way that they shut these things down is because of the rights of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So the only people that could use Sarah Tiana's name mm-hmm. for entertainment purposes, Sarah Tiana mm-hmm. and Rick Ingram. So you can't say this is Rick Ingram's lamps or it's Rick Ingram's medication.
Right.
Because your lawyer is going to shut it down saying you can't use the name Rick Ingram. You don't own the rights to use that name. That's how 90% of these things get shut down. How I get paid is I get a finder's fee. Mm-hmm. So somebody will come to me and they'll say, I got a sex tape of so-and-so. How do we turn this into money? And I say, well, you know, there's an old saying, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, right? So it's how you ask. Like, what do you have? What can you prove? What's the story? And then they come to me and they show me what they have. And I'll say, well, how did you get this tape? Well, I shot this tape on my camera. And the person's looking you in the camera and he knows he's being filmed or she knows she's being filmed. Yes. Okay, well, you're a 50% copyright holder. Let's mm-hmm. approach the other party and see if they want to buy their copyright back. Mm. Right, so it's a copyright acquisition, and it's very clean that way.
Mm. But you're saying like Colin Farrell has an opportunity to buy that tape back,
and he did for $1 million from a company in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I had no piece of that because the guy who snaked it from me, who's a guy named David Hunt Schmidt, he called me up and threatened my life and told me to back off of the tape. They found him dead 4 months later, hanging in a shower.
How did you get him in the shower?
Well, I'll be with Chris Rock in London.
Yeah. No, it was interesting because I guess he had some stuff on Tom Cruise many years ago. And mm-hmm. people were always trying to point this conspiracy that the Scientologist had him killed.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
they're creepy, so why not?
I mean, why not? But this guy was nuts. And the guy literally threatened to kill me. And so he ends up doing a deal with this company in Phoenix for $1 million that it won't ever come out. And guess what? If you Google it right now on Pornhub, it's out there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So people, a lot of these celebrities will buy the tape so that it doesn't come out.
Yeah.
This
so
is
they're
the Trump,
buying
the Trump
your
move.
Silence.
Yeah.
But it's part of the machine, you know.
Buy and bury.
People don't understand how Hollywood works. You guys do because you live here. But the machine's like this. It's not just that celebrity that's dependent on the money. It's the manager of the celebrity. Mm-hmm. It's the agent of the celebrity. It's the makeup artist of the celebrity.
Everyone's got their hand in the pocket. So.
It's the glam squad.
You got to keep the
So sometimes those people will all pony up something just to keep the gravy train rolling.
Yeah.
Sometimes the artist doesn't even know that their manager paid to make this thing go away quietly. But the thing is, I was able to flip the script many years later after getting sued for $20 million and $10 million and all these people. I'm like, you know, it's the same lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same A-list lawyers here in Beverly Hills. So I finally said, look, guys, truce. Help me help you. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a way in which we could all benefit from this. And of mm-hmm. course, they'll never admit to it.
Right.
But that's what goes on in this town. So when people hear something that's, you know, if there's being shopped, that means that somebody's not paying for it to go away.
Yeah.
The story's gotten out there.
Right.
And, you know, there was a brief period of time where I moved to Hollywood because I met the guys who ran TMZ, and they were like, man, we pay for stories, bro. If you ever get anything that you can't turn into money, we'll buy it. So it was like, I was the Fred G. Sanford of like gossip from 2010 to like 2018, man.
Nice.
Yeah, but people think that what they have is always worth way more than it actually is.
Sure. You know? I mean, that's kind of the Hollywood way.
It is.
Is there something that you ever had? Is there like a favorite item that you ever had that you're like, man, I wish we could have gotten this out, but like no one really cared, but you're like, I wish they would have cared more about these.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple. Well, one came out, but nobody's ever really seen it. The Tom Sizemore sex tape is just the most disturbing fucking thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Sizemore, you know, he's a fucked up dude and he's great and everything. So I assume this is no different.
Great and everything.
He's really good at smoking crystal meth.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had like 7 hookers in a room at the Chateau Marmont, and he's glazed, man. He was dating like Heidi Fleiss at that time, and there was a restraining order against him from Heidi. And he just looks in the camera, and he's like, I wasn't there. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. And then he's got what's known as a priapism. You hip to the priapism?
No.
You know whenever you see a Cialis commercial mm-hmm. or Viagra, they say, for erection lasting more than 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
That's a priapism. Oh. This guy had a refractory prostate. I don't know what it was called, but the guy could come and his dick still stayed hard and he'd keep fucking.
Oh, that's why Heidi Fleiss liked him, yeah.
Yeah, smart. Sizemore, just a grade A human being.
Oh, so he would just have like one after another after another.
Oh my God, there was just all kinds of stuff going on there. And it was like a Fellini movie on crack. It really, it was like, it was nuts. So that was one that I really wish more people would have seen. There were, oh man, there was a couple that were just like, not even really sex tapes, but they were like playful little things of girls that were still just out of high school and they became stars later on. I mean, look, the thing that was weird is when I got into this, you kind of had to be, years ago, you had to be famous for a talent. You had to be a singer, you had to be a comic or an actor.
Pre-reality slash social media celebrity.
Now everybody's famous for just being famous. So somebody who went to high school with you who was a girl you never looked at twice is all of a sudden on a reality show.
Right.
And millions of people are watching her. Mm-hmm. And her ex-boyfriend's like, hey, I think I got a tape of her sucking my dick.
Right.
Right? And they, let's call up that celebrity sex tape guy. So those are the kind of things I get.
Was that Ray J?
Ray J I met at the Cheesecake Factory. In Woodland Hills.
As you do.
Yeah, this is how most porn tape situations arise.
I feel like there's a cheesecake theme in a lot of these meetings.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's funny that I never even put those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm lactose intolerant, so like, that's even funnier.
Not even you ordering the cheesecake.
Yeah, like, I don't want fucking cheesecake. And they're like, I was told that's what I say. Once I say something about the cheesecake, you know we mean business. Yeah, that's our safe word for
cheesecake. Yeah, no, I met him through a friend, and he told me he had a tape of this girl named Kim Kardashian. And I said, like, wait, Kardashian, isn't that the lawyer? Who
the OJ guy,
OJ.
Yeah.
OJ. Mm-hmm.
I go, isn't that the girl that, like, organizes Paris's closets and is, like, her hangar? I'm like, yeah. And then Ray J and I met with this third party, and it's like, yeah, man, Kim wants to release it for free because she wants to become famous like Kim, like Paris. She wants to be bigger than Paris. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you have to tell her not to release that tape, dude.
Yeah.
I'll get you the biggest deal in the history of sex tapes if you just keep her cool. He's like, man, I don't know. I'm going to have to, like, make a call and see. I'm like, dude, you make that call. I'm going to take you over to Red Light, which was the competitor to Vivid, who the Kardashians happen to be very good friends with mm-hmm. Joe Francis, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I believe it.
I just
did
a whole interview. It's going to appear in the Sun, and I kind of bury them because it's disgusting. But this man was the biggest exploiter of women in the world, and a disgusting one.
Yeah.
And the Kardashians still go visit him down in Mexico like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, after he left the meeting, shook my hand, he goes to Joe Francis. Joe Francis says, I'm going to take you straight to my guy, Steve Hirsch, over at Vivid. And they completely fucked me out of the whole deal. It's all right. Like I said, I'm still out here doing it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they made millions of dollars.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. Vivid made millions.
Yeah.
But and he's retired and he's happy. But you know what? I'm still doing it.
And and you're not responsible for the rise of one of the worst things in American history.
Bro, honest to God, this interview I just did was about making stupid people famous. Like, we have to stop this. This is like...
Yeah.
You know, if somebody would have told me years ago when I saw the original Kim Kardashian, and I can't tell you the content that I saw that wasn't in that video, but I could tell you it had that content stayed in that video, that family wouldn't be the billion-dollar family that it is.
Right.
I could tell you that much.
Oh, really? There was stuff that we didn't see.
I'm going to protect you by not telling you what it is, because we don't need the Comedy Store suit.
Sure.
Peter, I'm looking out for you. But yeah, that's kind of like the fact that women worship these girls and believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They believe everything they see on the show. My friends in Cleveland, they're like, oh my God, I feel so bad for Chloe. Lamar's cheating. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the storyline.
Yeah, they got Pauly Shore writing this stuff. And by the way, we're not going to talk about it, but what happens in the video is Vern Troyer runs in there and he eats Ray J's ass for 2 to 3 hours.
Ray J would not even notice.
He smears cheesecake in his ass crack.
An incredible amount of cheesecake getting fucked in this thing. It's a kind of an American Pie tribute, but a classier. It's a New York classier type of vibe.
Yeah, so that's kind of the long and short of it. I get paid, like I said, a finder's fee from the side of the seller, but I also get paid in some cases from the lawyers as well. Sometimes they'll just hire me to be a decoy and go out there and quietly try to make things go away.
Okay. Oh, that's a smart move.
I mean, you know, there was that thing that got involved. I can't go into too much, but Kevin Hart got set up pretty bad a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And we love Kevin, right? Kevin's a great comic. He's a friend of the...
Super nice dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was victimized. I mean, look, he was out there doing his thing. Probably shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, but... At the end of the day, you know, that was crazy because the person that came to me I thought was a hooker, and they were asking for $15 million in Bitcoin.
Smart.
I'm like, what is this? It's not some movie, man.
Yeah.
Bitcoin? How are you going to repatriate $15 million of Bitcoin?
Don't worry about that. Someone told them it was a smart plan, and they're like, yeah, all right, $15 million in Bitcoin. Got it.
That's my asking price.
Yeah. I won't do it for a dollar less than $15 million in Dogecoin.
Yeah.
I want it untraceable in Doge.
I won't do it for a Doge less than $15 million bit.
Or I'll blow your place to smithereens.
Yeah, yeah. It's always important. You got to throw that threat in there. Make sure you buckle up. Like, what? Is that an open-ended threat?
But that actually turned out to be one of his entourage, one of his guys.
Oh, wow.
Was posing as this female and tried to, you know, He got jealous of the lifestyle. He saw Kevin was rolling in private planes and living a life. And obviously, this guy thought he was going to get roles and open up for him on the road or whatever he thought he was going to get out of it. It didn't happen. And he released the tape.
Damn.
So that was pretty bad. But we got that off. And that's no longer circulating.
Yeah.
You know?
So you can put it out there or make it disappear.
Yeah. It depends on what side of the table you need me on.
Magic man.
Rainmaker.
Rainmaker. I like
that. I'm doing the Lord's work.
Is that
work.
Who Matt Damon was playing in that movie?
I'm doing the Lord's work, Rick. That's what I'm doing.
And look, there's a lot of Lords. Right. You know? So in some way, I think you are.
But I also do merchant credit card processing for high-risk merchants. I do all the credit card processing for the Bunny Ranch and all the brothels out in Nevada.
Oh, okay.
To keep their client base private?
Well, not
is
so much that.
Is that what it is?
You know, when
you
got
to clean the money.
Allegedly. Now, it's, you know, sometimes they'll have like high rollers that go up there and they'll use their credit card and they'll take a girl for a couple days or 10, mm-hmm. 20, 30 grand. And that's a high risk thing because sometimes they wake up the next day and they have that buyer's remorse. They're like, wait, I just spent $50,000 on some girl. That's not my wife.
Yeah. This is going to get traced somehow. Yeah.
Or they'll charge it back. Or they try to charge it back, which puts all these merchants in a lot of trouble. So I do them. I had one client recently that sells cadavers to universities.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
That is a very weird thing to process for.
Yeah.
Same business, the Bunny Ranch, or?
No.
Different?
That would be weird.
That side hustle. Side gig.
Yeah.
Anybody that dies here, we sell them too.
Speaking of died, you know there's ghosts down here, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen any?
I've never seen any.
Not down here. Only in the belly room.
Only in the belly room.
Mm-hmm. That's where I've seen him.
Really?
Do you have to?
I have to run, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Myself, brother. That's what I do.
All right. Where can people find you?
Just at Kevin Blatt. I'm on all the social media.
The socials. All right.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm going to have a podcast shortly. And I had a podcast with Too Short, the rapper, for a little while. That's how I know a
real
lot of
deal
comics.
Pimp.
Well, yeah, man. Yeah. Pimping ain't easy.
Yeah.
Someone got to do it. Someone got to sell sex tapes and penis enlargement pills too.
Amen.
You know?
The American way.
Do you care if I stay and ask him a couple more questions?
Definitely.
Sure. All right. Well, you wrap it up as if it's the end.
Until I have to give the
voucher.
Guys, another $20.
Thanks for listening. Sarah's going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out exactly how far in Vern Troyer got before the paramedics were called. So thanks for listening. Stick around. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, so, hey guys, this is Sarah. I just had a few more questions. Like, what is the most expensive sale you've ever made?
$5 million.
$5
million? Yeah.
Was that commission or was that?
No.
That wasn't your net?
No, the IRS is the net. I'm just kidding. I had a girl come to me who had a Me Too situation.
Uh-huh.
Somebody I knew from the porn business. And she told me, hey, did you look up this celebrity? You know, you've heard these rumblings about this guy. I'm like, yeah, but what are you trying to tell me? He's like, well, this happened to me 30 years ago. I was 16 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he basically was having sex with me. The first sex I ever had was in his trailer on a movie set and this and that. So I'm like, yeah, but how are you going to prove it, man? You were like 16. You're like 44 now or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, I got the plane tickets when he used to fly me out. And I could tell you his whole staff. I could tell you the whole layout of the house. I could tell you the butler. I could tell you the car. I saved everything. I have cocktail napkins from the club we went to, all that stuff. And I'm like, whoa. I said, you know, maybe I should lawyer you up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And brought her to a lawyer. The lawyer says, what do you got? She shows him everything. And the next thing you know, the lawyers approach the other lawyers. Everybody knows everybody in the city. Mm-hmm. And it goes to mediation. And I think they were fully prepared just to write this girl a check for $250,000 and walk away. But she actually went to a shrink, and the shrink basically diagnosed her with all these mental issues and said that this is pretty much how she ended up going into porn and having the mess of a life, crystal meth addiction, all this stuff. And they awarded her $5 million.
Wow.
Again, that wasn't mine.
Right.
But, you know, I was taken care of by couple sure. different people,
but also she deserves that if that's what she went through, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
you know that this girl spent that money
already
in a year and a half.
Ugh.
I mean, if you knew what she spent it on,
was it on sex tapes?
No.
Can you imagine?
It was on her teeth, her mom's teeth, her pool, you know.
Wow.
Remodeling, just
I mean, know, I guess if you're addicted to crystal meth, teeth is important.
If you're white trash,
yeah,
and you don't know what to do with your money, then you're going to probably go through it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like a child star or anything else. But yeah, just dumb. I see this happen sometimes too. These
yeah.
girls make some money and they go out and they just blow it. Or they get some crazy boyfriend, they're codependent, and they end up, you know.
Do you have people coming back to you more than once? Like, do you have people?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Especially with Charlie Sheen. That was the gift that kept giving.
Yeah.
Every other week something was going on. Not sex tapes, but like I said, it became more than just sex tapes. It became dick pics. It became mistresses. It became text messages.
Yeah.
Anything that was salacious that they would want protected.
Sure.
I would middleman.
Who were you the most surprised about that had a sex tape? You were like, I can't even picture this person having sex. I can't believe they have a sex tape.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Oh, really?
You remember Dr. Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one.
The psychologist?
Yeah. Yeah.
The radio?
Yeah, we had her tape on the website that we later put Paris Hilton on. It was called sexbrat.com. So that was a weird one. There's a couple I can't talk about because I signed NDAs, but they're like daytime talk show people.
Sure.
You know, the thing that people have to keep in mind, like I was just talking about the Kardashians, they're charlatans.
Yeah.
They're liars. They're hustlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually these people with that high moral compass
mm-hmm.
that always end up being the freaks. Always.
Yes.
The politicians, they're always Republican.
Mm-hmm.
They're always the ones that hate gays,
mm-hmm.
right?
Having gay sex.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hate Disney.
Yeah.
But yet they're the ones that are with boys. And
having sex with a prince.
You have no idea.
Yeah, no, Gaston, I mean, come over, yeah.
It's getting to a point. Well, I'm kind of, and the reason why I wrote this book over the pandemic and I want to sell it is because I'm kind of sick and tired of doing what I do.
Really?
I'm kind of like, there's no fun in this.
Sure.
Chasing drug addicts and bad people and
mm-hmm.
trying to keep people quiet.
And getting them money so that they continue to be drug addicts and
yeah.
bad people. Yeah.
And then sometimes like, yeah, I'm going to take care of you, KB. You get 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just fuck you.
Bail.
Yeah, because, you know, you're dealing with the lowest common denominator of people.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with scumbags mm-hmm. off the earth. I've dealt with people that were gangbangers. I had Oscar De La Hoya sex tape, and that was a horrific situation.
Really? Like, what? Why?
Well, there were some girls that set him up,
mm-hmm.
and they were off of a website called Seeking Arrangement,
uh-huh.
which is basically prostitution. You pay these girls for their college tuition or books or whatever it is, and they come over, but he was twacked out of his mind on coke. And the next thing you know, there was kitchen utensils being used. He got the Aunt Jemima treatment. Yeah, there was like things up his rectum.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just horrible. And I tried contacting his people and nobody contacted me. So I ended up going on Latin television, which I had no idea the reach of
Oh, yeah. Very
broad. Univision.
Oh, yeah.
And the next thing I know, every busboy in this town, every waiter that sees me go to the restaurant, they're like, oh, he's the man. He's the sex tape guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was
fascinating.
Yeah. So that got back to Oscar De La Hoya's had a couple of different things out there.
I bet. Well, what about other athletes? Like, whenever, like, there's a big scandal, like, for me, like, I've been very passionate about the Deshaun Watson situation. And the
He's a Cleveland Brown now.
I know.
I'm a Browns fan.
You know, but that's a situation.
I don't know how. I don't feel really happy about this.
I wouldn't, no.
22 cases, but I did send a little memo to the Cleveland Browns saying, hey, here's my number. You're going to want me on speed dial.
Yes, you are.
Because I had the Antonio Brown. Are you a football fan?
Yes, big time.
Okay, so the chef that was Antonio Brown's chef is my client who came to me on something else many years ago, called me up, and he's like, yeah, this guy stiffed me out of $10,000, and I want to take the story to TMZ. And I'm like, wait. He owes you 10 grand? He's like, yeah, not only that, but I found out he's not even vaxxed. He's got a fake vax card.
Oh.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Can you prove it? He goes, yeah, I can prove it. I got a copy of it. And I know all the people that bought him and who they bought him from. So I contacted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the head counsel. Oh, yeah. I contacted Antonio Brown's manager. I go, listen, guys.
You look like a very young, healthy Bruce Arians. So this is really great.
Young and healthy. I'll take that. I'm just as bald, by the way.
You contacted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, listen, here's the deal. When they come to me, that means they're usually going to go to the press next.
Mm-hmm.
So help me help you. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something we could give him that makes him go away. Mm-hmm. And you guys don't catch shit because you were the first football team to come out and say that all your team members were fully vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
and that is not the case.
Mm-mm.
So they were defiant, and Antonio Brown was defiant, and guess what? The story came out, mm-hmm. didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And my chef finally got his money back. He finally got his money that was owed to him, and his business took off. Shout out to Stephen Ruiz,
yeah,
the chef from the Antonio Brown scandal.
But I'm always fascinated by athletes that, you know.
But I told the Browns, I'm like, you're going to need me because this guy's going to get in trouble again.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to me that people were like, where's the proof? And I'm like, well, he was very careful. Like, he's doing it in a massage room where there's no cameras.
Right.
He takes off the towel, so there's no physical evidence.
Right.
He ejaculates on himself, so he's the only person cleaning it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's very careful.
It could happen that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But I've also seen girls do things that are really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I had one girl come to me. She had a pinhole camera inside her Louis Vuitton bag. And every Friday, she would go to this casting couch of this big director who's no longer around. And basically, he was 82 years old, and he was doing all these girls, like 19, 20, 25-year-old girls every week. And this girl looked like another actress that I was pretty sure she was, but she wasn't. You can't set up people like that. It's an invasion of privacy.
Right.
But again, I've seen stuff that is just crazy in this town.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be too depressing of a job. You know, I can understand why you want it. What about Trevor Bauer? You have anything? Did you see any?
Listen, you have to know that where there's smoke, there's fire.
Sure.
And the reason he hasn't played in a year is because he was complicit in some of the things that were alleged, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, look, I've seen girls want to get choked.
Mm-hmm.
They're into it. I've seen girls want to get spanked. Sometimes they take it a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
And people get caught up. Usually there's substances involved.
Yep.
And again, there's that buyer's remorse afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he went too far. He broke the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he caused a bruise. Now I got to tell my mom what this is. Then they start thinking about it. Wait, a professional athlete who's worth how much did this to you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think Trevor Bauer is just guilty of being a young guy who got...
Oh, I think they were both complicit. I'm like, I feel like women think that, men want this.
Right.
Because they watch porn and they go, oh, this is what men are into.
Yeah.
And men are like, well, she asked me to do this and I'm totally... I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, being freaky in bed. But,
no.
Like, you should have a safe word and both parties should know, like...
Cheesecake.
Hey, yes. Just say cheesecake and move on.
Yeah.
So what's the name of your book? Like, have you written it yet? Are you in the process?
The working title is Confessions of a Hollywood Sex Tape Broker.
Great.
That might just change to The Fixer or some weird variation.
You have to have Sex Tape Broker.
I think so,
title.
Too. Yeah. It's what's going to sell it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But there's two things going on right now. So a couple publishers were like, this is really too hot for us. I don't know. We'll get sued if you put the real names in there. And then the other ones are like, oh, you know, if you fictionalize it, it'll be good because everybody's going to know who you're talking about. Like if you say the Hotel Heiress, everybody goes, they're going to know it's Paris.
Yeah, sure.
The Armenian, you know, influencer.
Reality star.
Right?
Yeah.
The diminutive.
Yeah.
Actor.
Kanye's ex-wife.
Right. Yes. The midget from Austin Powers.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's a kind of a catch-22. But I'm excited to just tell the story, sell the series, seminars, sell the book.
Yeah, you got to write the book so that they can make the movie. So that it's basically Molly's Game, but sex tapes.
Bingo.
You know what I mean? So
Bingo.
I think Molly's Game
was written about people that obviously are in that whole Rick Solomon circle, that whole poker circle.
Oh, yeah, Tobey Maguire. Everybody knew who Tobey Maguire was in that movie. It's like the worst kept secret in Hollywood.
You totally get it, Sarah.
Yeah, I get it. So it's like you could say all the fake names you want. If you really know the business and who's in it and how scummy these people are, it won't be hard to figure out who's who.
Correct.
And I think also sometimes using fake names in places like that will like make people more interested because they want to guess.
I think
so
too.
If you tell them exactly who it is, sometimes it's like, no, give them a little work.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
So you got to keep it kind of mysterious. And it's funny because, you know, I go on these podcasts and I tell these stories. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm giving away too much. But no, I think people are still going to want to see what I didn't talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, I read the article about you in Why? Was it Why?
Yeah.
Magazine? Yeah. Like, when Richie was telling you about you, he's like, you know, here's some articles. He sent me one. He's like, here's some. And then he sent me one. But I couldn't put it down. I mean, it was fascinating. So I think if you write a book, and I mean, I think you're a fascinating person.
Like, thank you.
I think, I
like to have fun. You know, I like to keep it light and I like to have a sense of humor about a lot of the shit that I see. Because if you don't, you'll go crazy.
Well, I think there are like, you know, certain things are going to be done no matter what. So at least have somebody who seems responsible and respectable in charge of one aspect. We know that there's other people who don't act that way. So it's nice to see you attempting to, you know, do the honorable thing in a dishonorable
That's not how I'm often perceived, you know.
Anybody
think that.
That's just my perception of you.
Well, it's good. I appreciate that because you see that. Like most people are like, oh, he's a scumbag. He worked in porn. He exploited women. But then people get to know me. They're like, you're just like a big softy. Like you're a romantic. You love women. Like you like tell girls to get out of the business. Like I've rescued girls and told them to get the hell out of this business because they have no business being in it. So it's kind of funny how you get that, you know, stigma attached to you. But at the end of the day, like I said to Rick, I'm really doing the Lord's work. You know, I'm just trying to get all these celebrities more paid and make this shit go away. Now, look, there is a code. I will say that. And I know we're running out of time, but, you know, if I see stuff that's bad, you know, violence, animals, kids, I deal with that.
Right.
I deal with the feds.
Good.
That's happened a couple times.
Sure.
No child porn, thank God. Knock on wood.
Yeah, that would be traumatizing.
But I have a code. So there's certain things I will not touch.
Good.
So,
but I think it's also, I mean, I feel like it's got to be taxing on your own mentality and your brain as well. But also just like, for me, keeping those kinds of secrets would be torture.
It is.
Like, I would never be able to keep those kinds of secrets.
Well, I used to have the biggest mouth. That's why my brother still laughs at the fact that now I'm the guy that gets paid to keep secrets. And I play golf with Richie and we sit and we talk. And Richie, by the way, is the GM of the comedy store here. He's my homie. And I'll tell him stuff, and he just sits there and laughs at me and shakes his head. But we're both from Cleveland, so like we have like this Midwestern common sense thing that's just like, oh, that guy's a moron, so he deserves to get fucking flagged. You know? That's Richie. He's like, oh, fuck Antonio Brown.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Well, Kevin Blatt, how do people find you? Do you want people to?
Yeah, sure, man. Listen, if you have a sex tape out there, if you've got a dick pic of Tiger Woods or whatever it is, call me, hit me up on Instagram. You can get me at Kevin Blatt or any Facebook, and hopefully you'll be reading my book. Just Google me.
Be reading your book. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. I knew we'd have fun.
It was a real pleasure. I didn't know how this was gonna go. You know, like you know, I'm a prude. So
you're a prude?
Yeah.
That's because you're from Georgia.
So. Yeah. No, I'm just a
Southern belle.
Yeah, I'm just.
By the way, that's where more porn is consumed
probably
than any place in America. Mississippi,
of course, the Bible Belt.
Yes,
you got to loosen it up.
Y'all got that right.
Yes. So anyway, it was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's I-N-G-R-A-H-A-M Pod on Twitter. Special thanks to The Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.